Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for listening and supporting Lakeshore Public Radio here on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Those of you that live in Northwest Indiana, remember how important the Star Plaza Theater was in Merrillville, Indiana. Well, it's been gone 2 years now, and a lot of smaller venues are picking up some of the slack and bringing in some great artists for Northwest Indiana entertainment. One of those is the Hobart Art Theater in downtown Hobart at 230 Main Street. In the studio with me today will be Shane Evans. He is the owner of the theater. He's been there, I think, around a year. We'll find out exactly. And he's done some great shows. We're going to play some music from artists that have been there, artists that are coming, and find out what the future of Hobart Art Theater is right after your headlines here. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tom Lounges, and it's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music, the people who make it, and in today's case, the people who present it. As I mentioned earlier, before the news, the Star Plaza Theater left a big, empty, vacant hole in the entertainment scene here in Northwest Indiana when they pulled up stakes and left about 2 years ago. Several local venues are stepping up. Memorial Opera House in Valparaiso, Theater at the Center in Munster, and right here close to home in the heart of Northwest Indiana in Hobart, Indiana, sleepy little town you'd never think would bring major artists to town. We're going to talk to the owner of the Hobart Art Theater, the guy who helped bring this guy in. Let's play something that I'm sure you'll know. You know that guitar riff, that distortion? Well, that was the first one that hit the charts. And the gentleman that did that song, that did that guitar part, is credited with inventing the distortion sound in garage rock back in the early 60s. His name is Dave Davies. He's one of the Davies brothers of the Kinks. And that, of course, was the Kinks doing that song with that broken amp, that green amp that's now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Dave Davies, of all people, actually played in downtown Hobart, Indiana. And I know for a fact, because Dave stopped in our record store, that he said, I didn't know there was a Hobart, Indiana. And he spent quite a bit of time here in town drinking tea and hanging out and signing autographs and even catching a couple of Z's in the lower level dressing room at the Hobart Art Theater, because that's where he played. And the guy who is helping bring all this great entertainment to town, Shane Evans, is here in the studio. Shane is the owner of the Hobart Art Theater for how long now, Shane?
As of January 17th, it will be officially be a year.
Wow. I knew it was getting close to that.
Yeah.
Now, you've been doing entertainment as a player for years. You're a musician.
Yeah, that was my first passion, you know, as a young man growing up and getting into my 20s and even early 30s, playing music, listening to music, going to every concert I could possibly go to. Obviously, as you get a little older, things in life change.
Mm-hmm. So reality hits you in the head.
It sure does. So bringing it closer to home now and trying to bring it to everybody in our area.
So are you from Hobart originally?
Absolutely, yeah. Born and raised.
Still here.
Still here. Yeah, I'd moved out of state for a little while. Work had took me down south and ended up moving back, be closer to family and everything up here. So glad to be here, and my roots are here, and this is where we're going to be.
Now, as a young child living and growing up in Hobart, did you go to the art theater watching movies a lot, eating popcorn, and just hanging out?
Yeah, the art was the place. You know, as a kid growing up, you know, just riding your bike up there, my parents taking me up there, you know, having your first date in a place like that, mm-hmm. all those things, you know, the stories that people tell me and share. So
if the back row could talk.
Oh, boy. Or not talk.
We'd all be in trouble.
Yeah. So absolutely. That was a staple in the city. And we're just trying to, reinvent it, bring in some new life and keep that building going.
Mm-hmm. Now, back then, young Shane, sitting in there watching movies, eating popcorn, hanging out, could you ever have imagined that one day you would be the big dog sitting there controlling what's coming in and coming out, and that this would be a concert venue at one point?
Not in a million years. Not in a million years that I ever think I would be a part of that building. And, you know, at that time, you know, you're not thinking of what it could be. It's just a mm-hmm. movie place, you know, and I didn't have any passion in that. That wasn't my background, you know. And when the opportunity came about and I saw it and I was approached by a family friend of ours, you know, I had to give it a lot of thought, and we really rolled the dice. You know, I'm lucky to have a great support system at home behind me, mm-hmm. along with a business partner who supports my vision for that room as well. So with everybody else around me encouraging me to do it, I jumped.
Now, how old is the art theater? As I understand, and I know Anthony's kind of the historian there, he's full of stories about the place and the town, but I want to say it was the 40s, is that correct?
1941.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe they started construction from the previous teardown in 39, and the building did open in 41 to the public for movies, and they were one of those first places, too, that advertised air conditioning.
Okay.
You know, if you see those in some of the old movies, air-conditioned theater as well.
Yeah.
You come to find out that's really not air conditioning. It's just big, giant vents that they have in the ceiling, which you'll see in our room. There's three, you know, probably six-foot-wide round vents in the ceiling, and all that does is you open those up, and it allows air to come in to kind of keep the room a little bit more.
I didn't realize
temperature
that.
Controlled. Yeah, so it's not really AC. I found that out when I tried to open them.
I know the was it the Bijou Theater in Chicago? They used to advertise refrigerated air.
Yeah,
instead of air conditioning. I don't know if that was a term yet back then.
Right.
But so how many seats is it at this point?
We have removed some seats from the building just to accommodate some of the production that we're bringing in there. Right now, technically, there's 340 fixed seats, but our capacity sits at 525. So
is that with dance floor and every standing room?
Yeah, what you call the pit area down in front. Now that we've removed some seats, total capacity is 525, and so we sell our bigger shows at 525. Leaves us that room for crew, band, employees, all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Now, how often are you doing shows? I'm on your Facebook page here, and it shows like a continuous stream of shows booked. I mean, you're booked solid here all the way through January, February, even into March. Is there April? There's even April in there, yeah, in May. Is it once a week, twice a week, three times a week? What's your goal to have the room filled?
Well, we're not quite at the goal yet. You know, the goal is to keep that room active 3 to 5 days a week, and try to really get some weekday entertainment on there.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we're really focusing on the weekends, of course. A lot of our bigger draw acts and better shows will always be on the weekend. But for now, we always have entertainment going Friday, Saturday. Some weekdays sprinkled in there. We do use the theater for fundraising events, for community type events.
Right.
I just got word we're going to be doing another debate for Republican debate for representative seat that's now opened in the state of Indiana. So we're going to be doing more events like that. Private events.
Some sport events, some big screen stuff.
Absolutely. The screen is still utilized to some capacity. We use it, of course, for some multimedia type things for bands, but also for some movies, some community events and things of that nature.
Okay. Now, will you ever go back to doing movies like during the week? Is that in the game plan? Because a lot of people miss the fact that there are, even though they're not first run movies, but just to do movies.
Yeah. You know, we'd like to incorporate movies just a little bit more to just, you know, just to be transparent, the financial side of movies, it's not there. Just to open that room in general costs money. Movie companies have really made it difficult for the little guy to really run a single screen theater. There's less than 40 left in the country at this point, and we're one of them.
Wow.
So, you know, the large movie plexes really have that, you know, have that niche. And, of course, with the digital age coming in, Netflix, all that stuff, it makes it hard on a theater to be able to purchase a movie, purchase the rights, and then be able to sell tickets at a price to where
it
can
makes
be
sense.
Profitable.
Yeah. So you can't sell that much popcorn.
Right. Yeah. You're sure right about that. But our intentions are to continue to keep movies involved, show them when we can. It's just a matter of really, you know, cost versus reward.
Right. Well, I know this year Anthony once again did It's a Wonderful Life. And that's a really nice community touch. If I understand, it was a free, just come in and watch
absolutely,
the movie.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, there's been a few of those.
Yeah, we'll try to do that from time to time. You know, we do some fundraisers for community organizations. We did one for the Boy Scouts a couple weeks ago. They showed a movie for their group, and, you know, they come in and, you know, they collect all the money, and we let them do that and use that room, essentially. So we'd like to have more movies back. We'll be doing some more through the summertime. It's just a matter of what kind of deals we can get from these production companies in California and Disney and all this stuff to really get something that's suited for us.
Okay. What was your first show as the new owner? What was your first live concert?
Our first show was Dave Davies of the Kinks.
Okay. That's a good one to start.
And talk about going in strong.
Yeah.
And it was a nerve-wracking time because, you know, from the purchase of the building to getting things started to getting all the production installed, which was a huge undertaking. It really put us under the gun, but I like to operate under pressure a little bit. You know, you kind of have that deadline and you have to get it done. And we got it done. The show was a huge success. You know, I got to sit in the green room with just me and Dave for a little while and just talk music.
Right.
You know, and that's a reward
for me. He was a little hard to understand sometimes.
He was.
His accent is still very heavy.
Yeah. So we got to talk. You know, we talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He loved the room. He said I reminded him of, you know, some theaters they used to play back in London back in the day and had that feel to it, you know. So just to sit and talk with him and pick his brain a little bit on music, it was payment enough for that show for me, and I really, really enjoyed that one.
Now, what was the response from the city and the citizens and the fans that here's this new guy, a hometown guy, he buys this venerable venue that's part of the history of the town, and he's bringing a historical guy from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as his first show. What kind of feedback did you get from the public and from the city itself?
Well, overall feedback from, you know, the city officials, you know, people that kind of knew what we were trying to do was great. You know, they've been on board with everything. I took a lot of phone calls asking if this was a tribute to Dave Davies. They didn't really believe that he was going to be there. So there's that, had to answer that. We had fans stalking the building the day of, trying to get in the back doors. I had some letters from some people overseas, from Germany and England, sending pictures in for him to sign. It was really cool to have all that happen, you know, and kind of prepared me for future things that may and hopefully happen more.
Now, one of the things about that show that I remember is the fact that you kept the tickets extremely reasonable. As I understand, if I remember looking at the numbers, it was the most affordable place to see Dave Davies on his Midwest tour. He played up in the city, and the tickets were like $20 more than you were charging. So you kept it reasonable because this is a working person, blue-collar environment here.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to try to do, you know, with all of our entertainment as much as possible. You know, this isn't something where we're coming in and redoing a theater and trying to do a cash grab for a couple of years. You know, this is a sustained effort for me for the rest of my working career. So we want to make sure, and especially starting out, you know, you really want to give people a value. So with that show, we did some tiered seating. with five different price ranges essentially based on how close you wanted to get to the stage. So we try to keep it as economical as possible while still maintaining our expenses, you know.
We go from the 1960s era rock hero with Dave Davies and the Kinks to one of today's brightest young stars. And this is a kid that actually grew up, graduated Hobart High School, and came back in a giant tour bus and sold the place out. This is music I don't quite understand. I guess it's called Bedroom Soul, another new term. Thanks to Jose for letting me know that. But this is Omar Apollo and Brake Lights, one of the artists that just played there.
A little like you, it's not working right now. Say that we're lovers and we miss our mothers again. She don't really like you. Boy, I kinda like you. You don't really like to mention that to me. Tell them right I could, cause no one really likes me. I'm getting used to that.
Day by day, baby, I don't got no brake lights. My car turns off.
Lush textures. What was that other thing, Jose?
Like R&B, soulful vocals. Layers. Soulful.
Yeah, that's a very different style. You know, I think of
that's what the kids are listening to.
R&B. I mean, I'm thinking of Marvin Gaye. You know, that kind of stuff. This is, I guess, the next generation's version of that.
It could be worse.
I was going to say, I would say that's the this generation's Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, and again, he's a hometown kid. Graduated from Hobart High School a few years ago, and I had never heard of him. Granted, I'm a lot older, but the girls were coming into my record store, and a lot of the artists, like Dave Davies and some of the guys that have played there, come in and hang out at the store and sign autographs and do little parties and things like that. And I had a gaggle of girls, for lack of a better term, come in and say, is Omar going to be here? Is Omar going to be here? Can we get in line? I'm like, what are you talking about? And so they told me all about this kid. And I'm like, I have no idea. I said, do you think he's going to have, is there enough demand?
Right.
And they like looked at me like I was from Mars. They're like, sure. Do you know who he is? I'm like, no.
Right. We do now, I guess.
So did you know who he was, Shane? I mean, you're younger than me, but you're not young enough to be in his generation.
Initially, no, I didn't, you know. And when the show got kind of, you know, sent our way a little bit and we're talking about it, did a little research and come to find out it's a little bit closer to home than what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's sister, so my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they're cousins play in a band, and they used to play with him in their basement.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't realize any of this until I started talking to people and putting things together. So, yeah, he used to play in the basement of some friends of our family with some closer cousins. So kind of neat. Once I saw them at the show sitting in our VIP area, I was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And sure enough, that was the connection. So wow. Didn't know much about him. But, of course, you know, as we bring in acts, I do a little research and try to understand, you know, a little bit of everything.
Now, he sold out in advance. Now, was that at the 300 and some figure or the 500?
No, he sold out at the 500 number.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, now granted, they did have a pretty large guest list
right.
for all their family.
As you do when you have a hometown
right?
show.
You know, but ultimately, yeah, it was a sold out show. And I wish I could have packed in more because the demand was there, you know.
Maybe next time do a weekend with him. Do a
right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Friday, Saturday night or something that would be.
Did you get a chance to talk to him, to Omar?
Yeah, we did talk a little bit before the show. One of our partners, Local 219 out of Crown Point, was there. And did some interviews and set some things up with him. So, yeah, we got to talk a little bit about Hobart and his background and how happy he was to come back and see the theater. And, you know, he talked a little bit about, you know, him coming to the movies and the conversion of the theater from mm-hmm. a movie theater to a live entertainment venue. So, yeah, he was pretty taken back by the change.
Wow. And I remember this giant tour bus pulling up in front of, it took up like three businesses, you, the bookstore, and myself. The tail end of the bus was in front of my record store. And it was like, here's this hometown kid. Talk about coming back a rock star. I don't know if he travels in a tour bus all the time or if he just rented it to make that impact, but it did make an impact.
Yeah, they were on a small tour through a little bit of Midwest, up into Canada. And then back down to the East Coast. So yeah, that was they had to drive that route. So, you know, like a lot of national acts, they'll fly in and, mm-hmm. and rent smaller vehicles and stuff. But for this run, yeah, they did use a bus and a trailer, and yeah, it was pretty neat to see.
Yeah, know,
hopefully the first of many. So we got another, we got a couple more buses I've got scheduled coming in already. So
okay,
we'll have some more of that.
Give us a heads up this time.
Yeah, I will.
The town's cool as long as you let us know. We got to take an alternative route.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about the style of music you have there. Now, more so than a lot of venues kind of fit a format where, yes, it's diverse. You'll do R&B, you'll do country, you'll do this. But you guys go from super heavy underground metal to tribute bands to this bedroom soul to country at all different levels. You've got multi-band local shows. What is the target of what you want? Obviously, you want to, you know, sell tickets and fill the room now, so you're booking a diverse selection. What works best there?
You know, kind of coming into this, you know, just to be honest, I wasn't sure. You know, this was a new undertaking for me. So, you know, I found out very quickly this is not a one-man operation to do. Mm-hmm. If we really want to hit all the demographics that we want to hit and bring in the variety of entertainment, I had to really take on some partnerships here, you know. So I have some great, you know, promoters that work for us. Friend of mine through Region Live Entertainment. Of course, Tom Lounge's Entertainment, you know, you're doing some shows with us. FM Entertainment out of Illinois. Flight Levels Entertainment, they're doing some bigger country shows. And then some of our comedy shows are through their bigger comedy show series company as well. So we really had to broaden our reach a little bit to bring mm-hmm. in a little bit of everything. So, you know, we found out pretty quickly what's going to work, what's not going to work. It seems that people are responding to a lot of the, for lack of a better word, novelty type shows that okay. we're bringing in.
Well, the tributes, things like that, like Mr. Speed, the Kiss tribute. I'm yeah. sure that's going to sell out.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the tribute shows, and you'll see not just at our venue, but at other venues throughout Chicagoland in general, the tribute acts are doing really well. It's one of those things where people know exactly what they're paying for, mm-hmm. you know, and these tribute acts, I mean, they do a great job. We have another one coming up next week, you know, talk about diversity. Next Saturday, we have a band called The Subliminal Verses, which is a tribute to Slipknot. You know, and then we have.
I would have thought it was Sublime. Sublime.
Yeah, right. And then coming in February, we have Graciously Departed, which is a Grateful Dead tribute. So it really goes from 1 to 100. And we want to try to appeal to everybody. You know, we want to have something for everybody to come out and see and be a part of. So we're going to continue down that road of private events, great comedy shows,
mm-hmm.
national act bands, local acts, tribute acts, a little bit of everything. And so far, so good, you know.
We are you are listening to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM and on the stream at lakeshorepublicradio.org. My guest is Shane Evans. This is Midwest Beat. Shane is the owner of Hobart Art Theater. We're talking about this beautiful little gem in the middle of downtown Hobart, former movie theater that has been transformed into a live venue, and so many different things that are coming here. And we're going to play one right now from a national artist I used to spin on that other station I worked at that played a lot of country music. And see if you remember this one. It was a top 10 hit.
The Diablo Motors had a hell of a sale downtown yesterday. Word got around, no money down, take years and years to pay. When I got there, lot was bare, but the salesman said, hold on. For a little cash, I got a two-tone Ash out behind my barn. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. With a 9-foot grand, a 10-piece band, and a 12-girl chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give him one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. Well, he said, friend, it ain't the end. Let's see what I can do. If you own a home, I've got a loan tailor-made for you. Then above the racket, a voice in my jacket said, I'll tote the note. The devil made me do it, talked me into it, and that was all she wrote. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. With a 9-foot grand, a 10-piece band, and a 12-girl chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give him one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. They say debt is a bottomless pit where the devil likes to play. I'd sell my soul to get out of this hole, but there'd be hell to pay. Empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. With a 9-foot grand, a 10-piece band, and a 12-girl chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give him one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine.
All right. Raise your hand if you know that song. Oh, not if you're driving. Joe Diffie, If the Devil Danced in Empty Pockets. And Joe hasn't had a hit in a while, but he had a bunch of hits, and that's one of them. Now, Joe Diffie is coming this month, January 25th, to the Hobart Art Theater, one of many country artists. In fact, we're going to get to another one coming up a little later in the year. Jared Neiman's going to be back in the area. Joe Diffie, that's a name I haven't heard in a while, and I am excited to, I'm hoping he comes in the record store. I'd like to say, hey, Joe, what's happening? But let's talk a little bit about Joe Diffie, Shane. Shane Evans is my guest. He is the owner of the Hobart Art Theater and the guy that is basically signing off to bring these amazing talents to our neighborhood. How's Joe doing as far as it's been on sale for a little while? I'm thinking that's going to sell out.
Well, he will have a tour bus. Okay, I'm going to let you know now.
Okay, we are aware. Word.
We got Joe Diffie will have a tour bus.
Okay.
Not sure if it's full size or not, but he'll have a bus. Ticket sales are going great for that. I want to say there are roughly, I have to look at recent numbers, maybe 100 or so left.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
We're still 3 weeks, 4 weeks out.
Yeah, yeah. So if there's anybody out there in the land that looking for a ticket for Joe Diffie, get on it now, because as we get closer, we know how those tickets go.
Right.
They go quick, and I hate turning people away. And it
but
never
it
fails.
Happens.
It never fails.
You don't know? Procrastinate.
Yeah, so that'll be a great night. A lot of good feedback. A lot of people, you know, ready to come out and see him and hear a lot of those songs and that one itself, you know, being played live and
yeah.
And Hobart, you know.
He's a good guy, too. He tells stories. I mean, he's a nice man. At least he was when I met him back in the day, and I'm sure he hasn't changed. One of the things I notice on a lot of the shows listed, you don't have supports listed on some of them, and I know a lot of them do have support acts. Do you have a support act for Joe Diffie yet?
I want to say there's one listed as just support. I'm not sure. It is through a third-party promoter from me.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where he's at in that process. Sometimes what we're finding out with some of these national acts, they want to add someone from their record label, their company, to
right.
give them some more exposure. So as those get announced to us, we put them out there and we'll add them to the event page and make sure everybody kind of knows what's going on. So as of right now, me just looking at the event page now, it's still just listed as opener. So,
yeah. Yep. Now, Joe is a big name country star. You've had a couple country artists there, correct?
Yeah, we have had a couple country artists there so far. You know, I don't know if I consider him to be straight country, but we had Uncle Cracker there who's kind of broken into the country.
Yeah, he goes between hip-hop and country.
Yeah.
That sold out, too.
That was a sellout. That one sold out very quickly, and that was just a really, really fun night. A lot of songs that, you know, you could sing along to and everybody mm-hmm. having a great time. And got to talk to Uncle Cracker again for a little while and, again, talk some music and... You know, talk about his days with Kid Rock and how he toured with them and all the fun times that they had and
mm-hmm.
growing up, you know, through the Detroit area. So that was neat to see.
There were a few folks that had a couple of beers in them that night. I remember that.
Yeah.
They came in the store and they were they were feeling good.
Yeah.
And laughing and talking and which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being happy.
A good time was had by all.
Yeah.
You know, one of our first country shows was Tyler Rich.
Yes.
If you remember that one. And that was kind of our first, you know, dive in the country there. And it went well. It was a great show.
Country seems to have an appeal to your audience in the Hobart area. That seems to be becoming a strong effort.
Sure.
And it was at the Star Plaza, too.
Sure.
Country did very well there.
Absolutely. Yeah, country, you know, country music is a market that is huge,
mm-hmm.
obviously, throughout the entire country. You know what I mean? So country music sells well, does well. And what I like about country music are the fans. You know, the country music fans really support their artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come out in droves. They have a great time, and that's really what I like to see.
And you don't have to have a current hit when you're in country. If you're in music, in rock music or pop music, you're only as good as your last hit. A year after, they don't know you anymore, the new kids in town. But with the country artists, I mean, even going back in the day with Tammy Wynette and George Jones and people like that, Merle Haggard, they hadn't had hits in years, but their name carried them, and they would sell out shows all over the place.
Absolutely.
And you're seeing that still with some of these countries, like Joe Diffie. He's newer country compared
right.
to those guys, but still has a loyal following. Jared Neiman, I'm excited about him. I remember when he was the big kid in town, you know, mm-hmm. he was like, okay, this is the new guy. And it's been a little while, but now he's still drawing well, too.
Yeah, and what helps is the fact that we are a small town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are amazed that they get to see these names and these acts come to a small town and a small theater, and you're so close to them, the opportunity to meet them and hang out with them and do all that kind of stuff. So that helps us, too. You know, you throw some of these acts in downtown Chicago, they may not even draw as well as we do
right.
because you have so many people locally that want to be a part of something that's, you know, bigger than what they've seen there in the past.
And the tickets are a lot more in Chicago.
Yep. You don't have to go and pay $50 for parking.
Right.
And you know, a $13 beer, you know. So it's nice to have something close to home that you can do that to and have a great time.
And another thing that does very well, there's the tribute acts. And, in fact, Little Lover AC/DC tribute will be there with Marco Villarreal on guitar and Kofi Baker on drums. And, I mean, just it's a great band. We got two AC/DC tributes, in fact, in the area. And they're both going to be playing there in the next 6 to 8 weeks. Bonfire coming up, but Little Lover is tomorrow. And they're another great band in AC/DC. How do you go wrong with that?
Yeah, you know, there are really hundreds of AC/DC tribute bands.
Right.
They're out there everywhere, you know, but kind of doing some research and finding out how close to Hobart these guys are,
mm-hmm.
It was a no-brainer for us. And they were out, we had them out last summer, I want to say, for a date, and they blew the doors off the place. They gave us more than what we were expecting, that's mm-hmm. for sure. you know, our pre-sale was fairly low, but we ended up having, I want to say, over 300 people show up for it. So it ended up being a great night, and we're looking forward to having them back and hearing some great AC/DC rock and roll, man.
Right. Now, the thing is, a lot, you mentioned pre-sale, and as a producer and a promoter, pre-sale used to be the barometer for if a show's going to tank or sell. It's almost like people wait now. Even though you give them a discount, you know, you save $5, you buy it in advance. A lot of people, because of the world we live in and everyone's so high-pressured and there's so much going on in our lives, we can't plan as well. So I noticed that that pre-sale really isn't indicative of how the show's going to turn out. My Beatles show, for instance, we just did BritBeat. We had a really good turnout for that, but we didn't sell a lot of advanced tickets, which at first had me a little scared. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now, is that typical for some of these other acts, too?
You know, that's one of the challenges that I'm finding here. You know, back in my day of going to a lot of concerts, I bought that ticket immediately.
Right.
You know, but like you said, the world has shrunk. You know, it's so easy now. If you don't get a ticket, you can go to a secondary market. You can find somebody. Really easy to get a ticket. So we've noticed that with, I would say, 75% of our shows that you cannot judge based on a pre-sale. You have to really just be prepared for it. So it's hard to prepare your staffing, your security, and everything
right.
for a show where you sold a handful of tickets and then you get 300 to 400 people in the room.
Right, and they all want a beer now.
Right, right. So there are some logistical anomalies to things like that, you know. So, you know, there's some other shows, though, with, you know, the bigger acts, you know, that right. do sell out pretty quickly. So that's always... That's a great feeling to go into a show knowing that you're already sold out, the room's going to be full, you know what to prepare for, and you can put some of those other things behind you and focus on, you know, running a good night.
We are talking with Shane Evans, owner of the Art Theater in Hobart, Indiana, and Little Lover, of course, AC/DC will be there tomorrow. We've got Joe Diffie coming up. Jared Bolt, a local country guy, will be there January 31st. Head PE, another heavy band, will be there on the 5th, In the Flesh, Pink Floyd tribute. I mean, it's all over the board here. We've got all sorts of comedy and even a wrestling show. WWE legend Hacksaw Jim Duggan will be at the Art. What's he going to do?
That's a good question, Tom. I hit some people with a 2x4.
I was going to say, what is he going to do?
It's kind of like... they're billing it as somewhat of a comedy show, but it's you know, going to be some sort of a variety type event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll be telling some stories, WWE days. He'll offer a Q&A opportunity. You know, I'm not sure where the comedy will fall in, probably into some of his older WWE stories, you know what I mean? We're seeing a lot of these guys from older WWE coming back and, mm-hmm. and trying to get back into the fold here a little bit and be relevant to some degree, you know? So... He's right for my era, you know what I mean?
Right.
I remember as a kid yelling, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, just loved it. It was so cool. And to have him back in the venue and be a part of that, I'm looking forward to it. We have another ex-WWE superstar coming up here. We haven't quite made the announcement yet for
okay.
it. But,
big name, though?
Huge name. Okay. One of the biggest names. That one will be a great one too. So watch for an announcement coming up on that.
That'll be in 2020?
That will be this year.
Okay.
I don't know the exact date off top. It's on okay. my calendar.
So we need to stay on the Facebook page at Hobart Art Theater to find out.
Absolutely. Watch that page for any updates. We're currently working on a website build, which should be ready shortly. So, for those of there out people out there that aren't social media savvy, we'll have a website ready to go very soon.
All right. As I mentioned, Head PE is coming up February 5th. You guys have had Insane Clown Posse, which kind of blew my mind. I was nervous about that show. But the heavier stuff seems to draw very well. There's a metal scene, a new metal scene, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, there is absolutely a metal scene. And that Insane Clown Posse show was literally that. It was insane. You know, but we were prepared for it. We know what they bring.
Mm-hmm.
We know the type of fans that they are. So, you know, you go a little heavy on security, make sure everyone's safe.
But there was no problems.
There was not a single problem.
Even the ones that came into the stores, I mean, they were, I guess, polite. They were scary looking a little bit,
yeah.
but they were polite and respectful.
Everything was off without a hitch.
Yeah.
You know, even I got to hang out with one of their main guys, Violent J, after the show a little bit and talk to him and... He said they played Chicago the night before, and it was a dud. He said he was so depressed after that show. The crowd was terrible. The venue was bad. And he said this show in Hobart invigorated them to move on with this tour and be ready to go, and they were all about it. And they're looking to book another date. So
back here?
Back in Hobart.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if that's going to quite happen because the cleanup was pretty insane itself. you know, but we'll see how that goes. And they were super nice guys, completely professional, front to back. And the show went great. Everyone had a good time. So that could be a possibility.
All right. Another one of the heavy bands that played there and I believe did well. We'll talk a little about that after this. See if you remember this, you heavy rockers. This is Power Man 5000. When Worlds Collide, Power Man 5000. We had to slip that in there for Jose because that's kind of his cup of tea. And Jose, what are your thoughts on some of the newer bands that, like we were talking about, Head PE and Power Man 5000 and ICP coming to Hobart?
I was going to say, like me growing up, like that was like...
Did you really grow up?
I don't know.
I don't see that in you, but okay.
Physically only?
But it's really cool seeing like nu metal having not necessarily a resurgence, but that's the classics to like at least me
for
and my age. Yeah,
it's
like
interesting.
Chevelle, Head P, like ICP. Oh man, like in high school, that was the thing. I wasn't into it personally, but.
But that's what everybody was listening to. I think that's neat. But what Shane's doing here is that we've got the oldies stuff. I mean, I do the Buddy Holly tribute. I did the Beatles tribute. We've got the new music like this. We've got the country artists. We've got the comedy of all different eras, whether it's conservative comedy or leftist comedy or whatever. It's a venue that is appealing to so many people, and Shane, you said you've had pretty good luck with the demographic that it's working with everyone, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's the design of it. We want to try to have something for everyone and really give, you know, not just be known as a concert venue,
mm-hmm.
you know, to bring, you know, comedy acts. You know, 2 weeks ago we just had Ryan Niemiller there from America's Got Talent. If anybody remembers him, he had finished third in his season, and that was a sold-out show as well. So we're working with a company called A Bigger Comedy Show Series, and they're bringing in some great names. We got Tim Meadows.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, from Saturday Night Live fame, coming in February 15th, day after Valentine's Day. So if you're looking for a nice Saturday night, date night out after our concert the night before, then come on out to that, too.
Just having the SNL tag on his show, that's going to sell out. It's got to.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I haven't seen the numbers in the past week or two, but from what I'm hearing, it's getting close. So
now, do you have a producer, a production company that's doing all of your comedy pretty much? Is it one house that's bringing it in?
We're kind of in the middle of that.
Okay.
You know? Originally, we were kind of booking some of our own comedy, trying to book some local names in there. But I'm trying to go through one company now to just kind of handle all comedy, but at the same time, be able to give local comedy acts, an opportunity, you know, as well. So we're trying to come up with a formula where both works. So
the America's Got Talent guy, he's from DeMott. I didn't realize that. He was on national TV. He's selling out all over. And they hung out at the store. We had about five or six comedians come in. And they were hanging out in the back room, drinking coffee, going over their bits before the show. They were hysterical.
They were all great.
I mean, some of the stuff they were saying, and we talk about blue comedy versus family comedy and things like that. And some of the comments they were making, it's like, you know, they know us from America's, you know, Got Talent. We can't do this and we can't do that. And the one guy goes, well, we could do it later in the show. It's like at the end of the show.
Right.
So when everyone's offended, they can get up and leave and the show's over anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And they were making funny comments like that. It was hysterical just listening, being a fly in the wall to those guys. It's got to be a trip for your staff to kind of, because it's not like the Star Plaza where nobody was allowed to look or talk to the artists or ask for autographs.
Right.
These guys are hanging out in the theater, coming to your bar and grill next door and having dinner.
Absolutely.
So just to hang with those guys, you're becoming quite the Brown Derby, if you will, of Hobart.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, our staff loves it. You know, they love to be a part of that. And again, mm-hmm. it's you always want to be a part of something bigger. You know what I mean? And that's what I think about it. There's a lot of parts to the whole here. You know, it's not just me. It's not just the room, you know, it's everybody involved. So we have a great staff there. They love to see all these shows coming in and be a part of them, and they have fun too.
We're going to talk about some of the other shows coming up and play a few more songs here. We still got some time today. But I do want to talk. I did mention kind of the Brown Derby reference, which, of course, was the famous restaurant in Hollywood in the glory days that all the stars hung out at. And we're starting to see that now with Brick House Bar and Grill. Now, that is your place as well. And that is connected to the theater, although you're not serving food in the theater. They can come next door. There's a little connecting doorway. They can have a nice dinner and then go to the venue, correct?
Yeah, we essentially run them as two separate entities at this point, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, we do own just right next door. It's called the Brick House Bar and Grill. We just had a new menu come out. I got a great business partner of mine. Shout out to him, Blake Gillespie. He handles a lot of the kitchen and bar activities, and all the food coming through there, the quality through there, the service through there. We really try to go above and beyond with what we do with our food, and we're finally breaking through. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, the people, the community are responding well. We're getting a lot of great feedback from individuals, and it's doing good. So yeah, like you said, Tom, we recommend people to, you know, come out an hour or two before show, get there early. Get a table, have a great meal, and then come on over for an equally great show.
And I'm not blowing smoke up any orifice of your body when I say this. It is amazing food. I am such a fan of your pulled pork. The smoke stuff is brilliant. It's one of the best I've ever eaten. And the other thing I do want to say, and again, this is just me talking as a client, as a customer, as a citizen, resident of Hobart, I find your prices are really good, too, for the quality you get.
Sure. And you know,
I would be raising those prices myself, but that's just me because I'm a greedy SOB.
Again, you know, sure, we all like to raise our prices and
right.
make a little bit more money. You know, again, we are in small town.
Right.
You know, and it's literally an era where, hey, I can go to McDonald's and get a dollar cheeseburger. You know, why go here and spend this certain amount? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So we really try to focus on atmosphere, you know, and service. You know, so like last night we have an acoustic Thursday night we do in there, you know, to kind of help, you know.
Well, you've had Jack Whittle in there. You've got Marco Villarreal in there.
Absolutely.
And it's nice to see, again, not only are you bringing the entertainment to the theater, but you're also part of that kindred spirit that I have to bring local entertainment, to give them a place to play.
Absolutely.
They're not going to get rich, but they're going to get heard.
Right. Absolutely. And me, I love live music. Mm-hmm. I love hearing a guitar playing and somebody singing. I mean, it's just something that's built into my DNA at this point, you know. So I know a lot of people like that. And, you know, sit down and have a couple of drinks and have a meal with your friends or family and hear some music. It's great, you know. So that's a piece of it, you know. But like you said, with the menu, we work hard to bring, you know, quality ingredients and quality service at a fair rate to downtown Hobart.
As a lot of my listeners know, every Sunday I do a free musical performance at the Record Bin from 4 to 6. And after that show, I had Lauren Dukes down there, a jazz R&B singer. We all piled into the Brick House, and it was funny because they had never been there. And the guy ordered the double burger.
Oh boy.
And he brought it out, the entire table's jaw dropped, because I'm like, there's no way you're going to finish that.
Right.
I have tried, and I eat a lot, and I couldn't finish it. It was hysterical, because we were like watching him like it was an entertainment event itself, just to watch him eat this. He wound up eating most of it, but he took a quarter of it home.
Yeah, I call those the challenge burgers.
That's,
you know,
yeah, that's like a heart attack on a plate. I love it.
Yeah, right. It is. And, you know, I think it's 2 half-pound patties on there, plus an additional meat. You know, they'll have one you can add beef to and chicken to. So
yeah,
they are.
I think he got the pulled pork, because I recommend the pulled pork to everybody there. That is one of your best things. But yeah, that was very cool. But
yeah,
everyone that I brought in there, we had 3 tables, and everybody left saying, this is a great place, we're going to come back.
Right.
And I like that about Hobart itself, is we're getting some really good restaurants in there.
Yeah, there are.
Montego Bay down the street with Teddy, and you're doing your thing. There's that new one that just opened around the corner where the bridge is.
Grangers.
Yeah. I've heard good things there. So Hobart's becoming a destination point. You know,
just get that bridge done.
Just get that bridge done, Mr. Mayor. That's right. And let's get this town shaking and moving, you know,
absolutely,
because we have some cool businesses. We got the Librarium downtown, great place to get coffee. We got Michael with the bookstore. We got me with the record store. We do free music at our place. You do music with your acoustic stuff there. We got the theater. We got the toy store. Cafe 339, a great breakfast. I mean, it's happening. It's a small town, and people that haven't been in Hobart in the last 4 or 5 years need to come back and experience the growth.
Absolutely. It's
and you're a big part of that.
It's not a race. It's a marathon at this point. You know
right.
what I mean? So seeing the growth of that downtown happen just over the past couple years, and I mean, how cool is it to have a concert venue and a record store right next to each other?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a great marriage.
In Chicago or in a big city, you don't see that kind of stuff. So to me, it's just a dream come true, and I'm so glad to be a part of it and continue the growth through the next, you know, decade in downtown.
Speaking of growth, we're going to talk about the renovations and the changes that have come, but let's play another song. What do we got here? We can do Switchback. Yeah, Switchback is a group. That's one of the shows I'm bringing in. Switchback is an international Celtic group, an Americana group. In fact, those of you that are familiar with NPR and PBS television, they actually start in 3 PBS TV specials, and they are one of the most sought-after Celtic groups in the world. They play all over Scotland and Ireland, and they're from right here in Chicagoland, and we're going to bring them to the Art Theater on March 13th, and it's going to be... It's going to be a good show. It's going to have New Elements, who's a Celtic band from the region, and they're going to be opening. So it's New Element and Switchback, and let's play Switchback's Connemara Man. This is one that a lot of folks know him for.
Connemara man, not a penny to your name. Connemara man, that's just the same. Connemara man, in the valley low.
By Switchback. Tom Lounge just stepped out for a second, but over here he comes back now. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fine. I was actually just talking to Chef Nick out there, who's got his Let's Eat show coming up here. We were talking about his guests and food, and he heard us talking about the pulled pork. And before we get any further into the Hobart Art Theater, tell me a little bit, Shane, about your partner. I know he's got he does the smoking himself, and he's brought the smoker out in front of the venue. Tell us a little bit about his background.
Originally, he's his name is Blake Gillespie. We became friends in my past life of work in retail.
Okay,
he was a customer of mine, and we just hit it off pretty quickly. And I was helping him build his home in Munster, and we'd been talking for years about something we want to do together. You know, we both kind of have a very similar drive, mm-hmm. you know, and motivation to you know work for ourselves. So this opportunity came about, and it happened great. He retired from R.R. Donnelly, the phone book people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the paper industry isn't quite what it used to be.
Right.
Everything's gone digital. He got out of that business. We started this, and he also runs his wife is from the Philippines.
Okay.
So they have a Filipino grocery store Let me plug that here. It's called Commodus Island.
And that's next to Blue Top, if I remember.
Correct.
In Highland.
Yes. Yeah. Right out in Highland on the boulevard there, Indianapolis Boulevard, called Commodus Island. They serve some really, really neat things out there. A lot of, you know, fish, seafood type items and things from the islands that, you know, you can't get anywhere else around here. Mm-hmm. So definitely
recommend. So you have a unique palate, that's the place to go.
Unique palate, that's a good word. I've tried a few things there, and some of it is acquired.
Yes.
You know, but overall, they have a great operation out there.
Now, does he serve like lunch there or box lunches or anything like that? Is there a food place?
They on Fridays, he'll have, we have the smoker, you know, okay. obviously that we use for the Brick House. But on Fridays out there, they will smoke a lot of different meats, ribs, and things, and sell fresh food that way. And now, they're not doing that for the next few weeks here because of wintertime. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't operate that smoker outside during the harsher months. But coming up here, you know, late winter, early spring, they'll be up and running again doing that fresh cooked meat.
I haven't tried his ribs yet. I got to
do
that.
Oh, man. We'll be doing it again at the theater coming up here. It's okay. always cool to put that smoker in front and have
well,
you know, a tailgate
Well, I love it because
party.
It smells so good throughout the town.
Yeah.
You know?
It lights everybody up.
It does. it wafts into my store, and it makes me hungry, and I wind up, I have to go and buy something.
Oh, yeah. I go in there, and I got the first plate, man. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about some of the renovations and things coming up. Now, when you first came in there, it had already been doing some live entertainment, mostly small scale, a lot of local stuff. There were some wants that it had as for the patrons as well as for those that were producing shows there. One in particular, there was no house sound, no house lights. Everyone that was there, first time I did a show there, we had to bring in all our own stuff and run cables, and then you got tripping hazards and all that. Now, that was one of the first things I think you took care of. But tell me about when you first walked in, what your agenda was. What was on your to-do list?
Again, I didn't know. I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of refer back to some friends of mine that I had known in the industry for years to kind of come in and take a walk in the building and see, was this possible? Now, granted, should I have done that probably before buying it? Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we went all in. And like I said, our first show with Dave Davies, I mean, an act of that caliber has certain things that you have to have. There's
mm-hmm.
just no in-between area. So first order of business was sound and lights. And that was a huge, huge undertaking. We used a company, another friend of mine, Gerard Audio.
Tony Troncoso.
Yep.
Know Tony for years, and he's got great staff. He's got Cooper. He's got Mike Sheffield, who's my go-to guy. I love Mike on my shows.
Great team, all pros.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought them in to help get our audio tied in pretty well. And, man, did they ever knock it out of the park.
Now, you've got a bunch of bass cabinets under the stage, so they're not obtrusive. I mean, they're not visually and blocking, and there's no sight problems. And you feel it because it's right at the low level. And then your highs and your mids are flown like they were at the Star Plaza, but a smaller scale, obviously.
Sure.
And the sound in there has been pretty pristine at anything I've been to. Do you have to supplement per show? Bring in, take out anything, or is it pretty much a set deal?
It's a set deal at this part.
Okay.
You know, we did cut out the front of the stage to put in some metal, you know, type racking so the sound could flow through. There's four giant subwoofers underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
You got line arrays hanging in the corners, full crown amps, and all that runs into a state-of-the-art, you know, front-of-house board, along with two massive lighting rigs that mm-hmm. hang.
Moving lights, too.
Yep, we got movers all installed, front and back truss, and the front truss lowers for maintenance. We really went all out to make this happen, and so far it's paying off. All the talent that comes in there loves the sound of the room. I mean, keep mm-hmm. in mind, it was built in the 40s for sound,
right?
You know, for movie sound. So the way it travels and moves through that room is unbelievable, and how, you know, even back then they could design a room to help with the features of sound,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's just helped us now, but everybody just loves that room. I mean, the sound is great. It's dialed in great. We have some great engineers. You mentioned Mike Sheffield, good friend of mine through the years, actually recorded one of my first bands about
at Sheffield Studios?
Yeah, about 25 years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, Mike's our main guy.
Yeah.
We use a couple alternatives when he's not available, but he's got the room dialed in. It's, you know, one of his phrases from back in the day was, it's not the gear, it's the ear.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He's so laid back, too. You know, a lot of people in the production end are hyper, because it's not going right, and they just get frantic. Mike is just like, chill out. It's good.
he goes hand in hand with my leadership style right yeah. there. You know, I try not to get worked up about too much. I try not to worry about everything. It's just not worth it. You know, yeah. so he and I see eye to eye on everything, and I trust him to run that room mm-hmm. the way it needs to be, you know, and we work well together.
Well, one of the things that's good about the fact that you did that right away, and coming back from my past in the early 80s, we had a place called the Point East, and one of the things that was important in our management team, we all agreed, consistency is what's going to keep people coming back. If you have ABC band here on Friday and it's got the band brings in a great sound system, great engineer, and it's just an incredible show, and 150 people come and see it and they're like, this is amazing. We come back next week for the other band and they bring in a Mickey Mouse system and now they've brought all their friends with, and now you got 300 people saying, well, you said this place was great. That was the problem. It was inconsistency. So by having a house system, house engineers, you are guaranteed every time you're going to that venue, it's going to be quality.
Yeah, and that's important. You know, I mean, my background in music and playing music and attending shows and really focusing in how things sound and how everything's, you know, dialed in and engineered, that's huge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was important for us to right off the bat to establish who we are, establish great production value and maintain that value. So, yeah, we had that installed for Dave's show April 12th. I want to say that was last year. So right away mm-hmm. we came in and did all that work. And like I said, removed some seats to create a general mission area in front. So that was very important to have quality installed immediately.
All right. We're going to play a song that you want to hear from Uncle Cracker. Tell me about the song and why you like it.
This song is called Follow Me. To me, it's just one of those, it's kind of like an anthem type song, you know, and the reason I asked for it is because when he played at the theater, I just saw such a passion in everybody that was there, mm-hmm. you know, everybody was up, standing up, singing it along with him. He didn't even have to sing, you know, just to have that many people in a room that I'm trying to run, the feeling that it gave me was just unbelievable. So this is a good reminder of that.
All right, this is Uncle Cracker, who has played at the Art Theater. Shane Evans is my guest. You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and the Midwest Beat Show. We'll be back right after this. Listen up.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried about the ring you wear, 'cause as long as no one knows, then nobody can care. You're feeling guilty and I'm well aware, but you don't look ashamed, and baby, I'm not scared. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. Tuck you in at night, and if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Uncle Cracker, one of the shows that has sold out at the Hobart Art Theater. My guest is Shane Evans, the owner of the Hobart Art Theater for the last, going on a year now. This month is a year anniversary.
Yes, sir. January 17th will be 1 year for me walking in that door and thinking, what the hell did I do, you know?
All right, a year later, reflecting back, what are your thoughts now? Was it, are you happy you made that decision? Are you still on the fence post? Like, is it going to work? Or
I'm extremely happy. You know, coming from the background that I was in, you know, which was retail senior leadership, that's a tough business, mm-hmm. you know, and honestly had taken a toll on me. I got to the point where I didn't enjoy it. I didn't want to do it. I could tell it was affecting my family life at home. So this has really kind of opened me up to other things that life can bring, you know. Home is great. My family supports me. We have a great time. I'm 3 minutes from home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son can come in there and run around the theater. You know, my wife stops in and checks out shows when she has time.
Grabs lunch at this great place.
Well, grabs lunch or tells me to bring it home.
Okay.
Every second day. You know, she likes the garlic shrimp, so I keep that order on standby for her all the time. So, we've really kind of created a family-style atmosphere with not just myself, but our other
owner. So she's 100% behind you on this. This is a good thing.
Yeah, you know, even the inception of this and talking to her, you know, she was very supportive and said, hey, listen, I trust you. I believe in you. You do what you got to do to get right. You know what I mean? And this was it, you know. So very, very glad that this first year has gone by lightning quick. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how fast it's gone by.
A lot of shows under the bridge, too.
Yeah, a lot of shows under the bridge. And it's really just about building the brand at this point, making this place great and continue to bring in top-notch names, great talent, a great time. So we're going to keep pushing it and continue to evolve this place into what it should be.
So in this past year, let's recap. You've renamed the restaurant. You've added a new menu. You've redone the kitchen. Got a lot of new staff members, yep. Which, by the way, the staff there is fun. I don't know how else to put it. They're very friendly. The customers, when you walk in there, when we sit down or after a show or my wife and I come in and have lunch, it's like everybody at the bar is like, greets you. Even the customers are like, hey, how's it going? Sit down.
Yeah,
you know, it's not. You walk into a lot of bars or a lot of restaurants. It's like everyone, you know, you look at each other like, okay, I'm going to sit here. This is like, come on out, sit down. Everybody's friendly there, and I don't want to diss Hobart in any way, but that's not always the feeling you get when you go to certain places in Hobart.
Right, and I don't think it was always that way in that building. You know,
no.
I mean, we've had to kind of create a culture of that, you know, and they'll watch me interact with customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I'm downstairs or I'm in the restaurant or bar, I walk up to people and ask, are they doing okay? You got everything you need? How's your food? We got the show coming up. You know, I interact with them and they kind of feed off of that a little bit now. And one, there's expectation to do that.
Right.
But two, that it's becoming easier for them to, you know, coax themselves into starting up conversation and get to know your customer.
So Brick House is doing well. Menu's great. The interior looks good. New sign outside. The theater itself, again, you've got a new space there for the front of house board. New hanging line array gear and woofer, subwoofers under the stage. And it's all coming together, but there's still a lot to do. Let's talk a little about what's going to happen in 2020. Now you're in year two. What is your to-do list? What is your accomplishments that you want to get done?
We're working on our green room facilities. Okay. You know, again, keep in mind, this is a movie theater built back in '41. So down in that green room, it used to actually be a coal chamber. You know, that's how they heated the building, was through a big coal furnace that, you know, coal used to get shoveled into. And that was removed years back by previous ownership. And now we've essentially turned it into a green room. You know, there's couches down there, there's refrigerators down there, tables, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but one thing it's lacking is plumbing.
Okay. So there is no facilities down there for the artists yet.
Yeah, there's no restroom facilities. Okay. Now, we've recently discovered that there is plumbing down there, so that's a good sign. We're in the phase now of seeing if that plumbing is functional and actually running to, you know, sewer and drain lines in the front of the building. So we have a company coming out to kind of look at those lines.
And that's important to the artists.
And it's required by most artists, you know what I mean? Obviously, to have private restroom facilities so they don't have to go out in the crowd and mingle and do all that stuff. So that's a big one coming here. So we'll have restroom facilities added downstairs. And above and beyond that, we're looking to expand our concession options.
Okay.
The concession stand there now is pretty small. You know, soda, popcorn, candy, kind of your basic stuff. We've added a few things there. We're looking to expand that option so we can offer more food options through
like
that.
Like hot dogs, as well. Burgers, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing to mention, too, is that even though the bar is next door and the restaurant is next door, you do have a fully functional bar at shows in the lobby area. So people can come out and get a cocktail or get a wine or get a beer and drink it in the theater.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a full bar as you walk into the theater. We offer it's all, you know, canned products and mixed drinks. You know, we don't do any glass over there, of course. You know, so we got some great partners through our connections at Miller Lite, Bud Light. You know, all those great, you know, top of the line vendors that help us out in there with, you know, how we serve things.
Is that through Indiana Beverage?
Yep, yeah, we partner with Indiana Beverage.
Good people.
You know, Calumet Breweries as well. So they're great partners of ours. You know, they help. You know, they'll promote some shows for us and help us out with certain, you know, type of advertising and that kind of stuff. So great partners through them. And but yeah, ultimately there's full bar there, and come out and have a great time.
Now, because of the fact that the food is so good and you're getting more and more people coming in, I know your kitchen area, having been in restaurant business in the past myself, is small. And that limits your output.
Absolutely.
Any plans to expand or enlarge or somehow tweak the kitchen area so that you can produce more?
Yeah, I mean, our dining room is essentially set up and built for, you know, let's call it 40 to 50 people, maybe max.
Okay.
So the kitchen is designed to handle that type of traffic.
Right.
You know, 30 to 50 people, let's call it. When you open up a room of that space where you can have anywhere from 100 to 500 people in there, that kitchen is not built for that type of service. So, yeah, our intentions are here at some point to expand that kitchen another, I think it's 15 to 20 feet behind the building to be able to service for over there. And
that'll add quite a bit.
Absolutely. And we're talking about, too, you know, of removing a whole another section of middle seating there and actually adding a deck so we can do more banquet type events.
Okay.
We had our first wedding this past year, and it went awesome.
Actually, the bride and groom came to the store afterwards and did pictures with our artifacts in the record store.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. So they loved the room. We did a little cocktail hour with them. But what we couldn't offer was a reception.
Right.
You know, with theater-style seating, it's just not, you know.
So you're going to make them temporary seats where you can take them in and out?
No. Kind of what we're thinking here is the whole middle section of seats is all going to come out. And that area will then, for those type of events, have, you know, 10 round, 8 top tables all through there that can service a full, you know, banquet-style setting or reception-style setting. Well,
how's that going to affect the concerts?
For some of the concerts, that will be, depending on the type of act, that will be another part of the general admission area. But for sit-down shows, we will have seats set in those areas for sit-down shows.
Okay.
So we'll be able to still kind of operate the same way we do right now. It's just those, you know, there's a lot of logistics that tie into that. You know, we got to get a storage unit. We got to keep our tables and chairs there and move them back and forth. So that's part of the plan as we grow a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Let's play another song. Another artist is coming up. Again, just to remind you, some of the stuff coming up sooner than later. Tomorrow night, Little Lover will be there doing a tribute to AC/DC. Subliminal Verses is a Slipknot tribute.
Yeah, yeah. We actually get they got a band of you know, 9 guys, and they get up there and they do the whole thing, and they do an awesome job. They are one of the best Slipknot tributes out there for sure. I mean, they do it spot on. Hmm. So a really, really fun thing to see.
Joe Diffie, country star, coming in January 25th. Jared Bolt, regional country star, coming in January 31st. February 1st, In the Flesh. I haven't seen them in a long time. I didn't even know they were still together. They're going to be back. Pink Floyd tribute. We used to do them back in the day. Head PE coming back for those that like a little aggressiveness in their music. I'm not familiar with what Riff Raff is. What is Riff Raff? Cranberry Vampire Tour. Okay, that's enticing.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually not, I can't say I'm extremely familiar with it either. He has a couple hit songs out there. So we're banking on a good sale through those tunes, and that's gonna be another fun night that's put on by our guys actually that run our comedy series.
Okay, yeah, Cranberry Vampire Tour, Riff Raff, February 8th, and Jose, you seem to know that. What is that?
Yeah, Riff Raff. He used to tour.
That's a comedian.
No, he's a trap hip hop artist, and he's very out there. He has like tiptoeing in my Jordans and. Dolce and Gabbana, like he's like a trap rapper.
Okay, define trap again. Isn't that kind of droning sound?
Sort of. It's like hard hitting bass, rap.
Is that something we could play on the show or no?
There is some things.
Maybe you could find one before we.
Yeah,
we
I could
close
see if
today.
There's like a non-explicit.
Because I'm very curious about this.
Riff Raff. Yeah,
good stuff.
I bumped him on New Year's. So that's some hype stuff. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That you got
I didn't yet understand a word he just said. I bumped him on New Year's. Okay.
Oh, I felt you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's cool. I'm going to go to that show now.
All right. See if you can find something that we can play before we wrap today. Valentine's Show, the Women of Motown will be there. That's one of my shows. And we're also going to have Triple Dose, which features Keith Jackson. Keith, of course, one of the Jacksons, that's right, from that family. And he's first cousin of Michael. He'll be there with Triple Dose. We've got Cheryl Youngblood and the Women of Motown tribute. Now, these gals are selling out venues all over the place. Lots of corporate parties, lots of downtown stuff. So if you love Motown and you're looking for something special to do on Valentine's Day, great couples event. In fact, there's a couples ticket special February 14th. It just went on sale online. Physical tickets will be available next week. And then we've got later that evening, Rocky Horror will come back after your Motown experience. And coming up, just jumping ahead real quick, March 5th, another country artist, Jared Neiman. Again, a big name a couple of years ago, and he's still doing great. In fact, we've got him doing Lover, Lover right now, which is an old Sonia Dada song for the Rockers. This is the Country Style Show. This is Jared Neiman, March 5th at Hobart Art Theater. We'll be back with Shane Evans and more music after this on Midwest Beat.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit, ain't never coming back. Girl, but before I get to going, I got to say, I know you used to love me, but that was yesterday. And the truth, I won't fight it. When the love starts burning, you got to do what's right. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Well, the truth, yeah, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit, ain't never coming back. Girl, but before I get to going, I got to say, there was a time, old woman, when you used to shake it for me. But now, all you do is just treat me cold. Ain't gonna take it no more, gonna walk out the door. Lover, 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 treat me no good no more, no good no more, 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 more. Lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Yeah.
don't treat me
and I'm hurting
no
so bad cause you don't treat me right.
One of the songs that put him on the charts, it's an old rock and roll song. That's Jared Neiman, originally done by Sonia Dada there. And he'll be there doing that song and other hits March 5th. Another one of the bigger name country stars coming to Hobart Art Theater, downtown Hobart. The venue, if you're not familiar with Hobart, easy to find because it's right by the post office, just across the street and about two doors down. So find that big building that is the post office. Look for the next biggest building, which is the Art Theater, and follow it in for all these great shows. Magic and Comedy with WWE's Jim Duggan will be there. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I better get it right. Otherwise, I'll get body slammed. Right. Bonfire coming in to an AC/DC tribute. It's the 20th anniversary of Bonfire, a band from the area that has been doing AC/DC probably longer than anybody out here. And we're also going to have on that bill Blizzard of Oz, which is a tribute to Ozzy and Sabbath. And we're going to have, as we call, the Dark Magic Show. It'll be Nicky out there, and he's been on the show a few times, Magic from the Asylum, and it's going to be a short magic set of some bizarre stuff that very Chris Angel-ish, if you will. We'll open with Magic, we'll do the Sab tribute, and then, of course, Bonfire. And if you can't wait for AC/DC to February 22nd, then catch him tomorrow, January 11th, with Little Lover, another great band from the region doing Bon Scott and Company proud. Good stuff. Shane, what have we not talked about that you really think people should know?
I mean, we've hit it. We've hit most things pretty well. You know, all I can ask at this point that, you know, people follow us on Facebook, follow our events, come on out, give us a call if you got questions. You know, we're very open. We want to, again, create something for everybody. If you have any ideas, you can always email us. It's all one word, thehobartarttheater@gmail.com. Shoot us an email, send us some requests, you know, send us some bands our way. You know, we're always looking for local talent that we can add on to shows. And, you know, people think, well, I'm not going to try that. But it works. Mm-hmm. You know, we read it, we look at it, and we kind of filter through it from there.
Tribute bands do very well for you. As I mentioned, I'm going to be doing the Motown one. We just added a couple, too. I know you wanted to get Mellon Cougar back, John Mellon Camp tribute. And Don, who plays the John role in there, has actually performed with several members of Mellencamp's actual band. Toby Myers has played with him, Dr. Z, all those cats. They're going to be coming back after a long absence on June 6th. They'll be there. Something new that I'm bringing to town is a really good Johnny Cash tribute, because I noticed at the record bin next door to you that of the country music, we don't sell a lot of country. We're more classic rock. I mean, we have a bunch, but it doesn't sell as well as the rock. But the one consistent country artist that people come in for almost several times a week is Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And I thought, Johnny straddles that line between early rock and country, and he's Johnny Cash. I mean, yeah. Everybody loves Johnny. So we're going to bring in a group out of Chicago called Folsom. And it's interesting because not only am I going to have Folsom there, But we have an artist from this area, again, talking about supporting young artists. Jimi Hendrix is going to be the opening act. Jimmy is actually based in Nashville these days. He's got had some great success down in Nashville, but he's coming home to do a hometown show here. He's from the region, so he'll be opening up for Folsom. And he's bringing kind of a unique project that he's putting together. It's going to be a trio. And I don't know all the details on it yet, but Jimi Hendrix is doing very, very well for himself. Another artist, kind of like Omar Apollo, that is doing well, that's going to come home, a star. And I think that's great that they're still coming home to their hometown areas.
Sure.
And yeah. I think this is going to be fun. So one of the artists that you had that we didn't touch on that I think, if we're going to name drop, we mentioned Dave Davies at the start of the show being a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Well, you've had a second Rock and Roll Hall of Famer there. Tell us about him.
Yeah, that was Dizzy Reed from Guns N' Roses. Such a cool experience for me. That was kind of early on in us taking over. I want to say that was early June last year. We had Dizzy Reed and his new band in with Alex Grossi from Quiet Riot.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a band together, and they were in for a night. And just a quick story on that. You know, they were loading out, leaving, and they had asked me, "Hey, is there anywhere we can get a spot to eat around here?" And it was about midnight or so, and I said, "Man, unless it's fast food, it's there's really not much going on." I said, "You know what?" So once you guys come back in, so it was Alex from Quiet Riot, Dizzy Reed from Guns N' Roses, Dizzy's girlfriend, and me. So we went back into the bar, and I went back into the kitchen. Now, granted, I have zero culinary skills, so. I put some food together for them, a plate of, meat, cheeses, and bread and some other things. And of course, the bar is open at that point when they're in the house. So we sat there for roughly about 3 hours till about 3 a.m. just talking music, talking about Guns N' Roses days. He really let me ask any question I could think of about Axl and how the band was and how things were going. And we ended up just making friends. We exchanged phone numbers. They gave me a lifetime pass to their new band. And and Dizzy said, "Hey, next time Guns N' Roses is in town, shoot me a message. I'll put you on the guest list. We'll come hang out again." So they were more than grateful for what I had offered for them to come back in, have some food, hang out, and talk. And we had some drinks together, of course, and just shared stories about Guns N' Roses for the past 20 years and what he had been through with them. So,
think he'll be coming back anytime soon? Is GNR out on the road?
GNR's doing some stuff this year through, I want to say, Central America and possibly some European stuff. And they will have some U.S. dates from what I heard, that are going to happen. So, looking forward to that. And trust me, I will be calling in
that favor
to Dizzy Reed, on that one. Wow. For sure.
Dizzy has been, still is with GNR since 1990. He's toured, played, recorded with him. He's a keyboardist with the group. And we're going to play a GNR song now just because that is such a cool story. So let's go back to the Use Your Illusion album and November Rain.
Thank you.
Well, it ain't November, but it was raining when we got here. So we'll say it's January rain. Guns N' Roses, in honor of Dizzy Reed, the keyboardist of GNR, coming in and playing at the Hobart Art Theater, one of the first shows that my guest Shane Evans presented there. And good stuff. I mean, we've played a lot of music today. We've talked about a lot of artists. Who is the artist, Shane, that you are most excited about seeing at this point moving forward? Of course, tomorrow starts with Little Lover, but you're scheduled all the way through April, actually beginning of May. So of the stuff that's on here, who are some of the artists that you're really excited about?
You know, coming up here February 5th, the Head PE show, you know, that they're a part of that new metal scene that really brought me into, you know, heavier rock and metal type music. I remember their first album when it had come out. I just gravitated to it and loved it and checked out a lot of their shows. I know they were on Ozfest for a year or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, they were for a while.
Yeah, and I've seen them a couple times live before, and I always enjoy kind of seeing what they do. Outside of that, another big one we have coming up here, February 15th, the Tim Meadows comedy show. Again, you know, the Saturday Night Live connection is huge, of course, but I always enjoyed watching Tim and what he brought to the show. I know he was a long-running cast member for a long time on there, and so I'm excited to see him for sure. I think that'll be a fun night.
Now, is that going to be, as some of the past comedy shows were, like a cast of different opening comedians, or is it going to be an evening with him?
They'll have a couple openers. I know one of my friends, Kyle Norris, he's actually helping coordinate the show. He'll be, I believe, opening up that night. I'm not for sure, but I think he might be a part of that. But either way, if not, they have a great lineup that they have as openers with these shows that do a great job, as you heard with the, you know, the Ryan Niemiller show.
Right.
Yeah, so very funny guys.
The other thing that's interesting, and I know Dee Dotson, who's an air host here as well, she was listening to the show outside in the office, and she said her son's really into the WWE stuff. WWE legend Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Is it Duggan or Dugan?
I've heard both.
Okay.
I've always said Duggan.
Okay. It's billed as a comedy and magic night. Yeah. So, again, do you know anything about that show?
Not so much. I mean, I don't think he's really done this before, so there's no reference to it, you know? I know the magician that's on the bill, he's performed with us one time before, I believe, local guy. I forget his name, but
is that Keeland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keeland Windorf.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be on the bill with us, and I'm excited to see
so
it.
So is
know?
Hacksaw just like the MC then? I mean, are they going to saw him in half with a hacksaw?
No.
I mean, what are they going to do?
He's not going to be part of the magic piece. That's kind of you know pre-production and before his set. But I think a lot of it is more storytelling.
Okay.
And Q&A type stuff, you know, of his career through the WWE. And, you know, for all those WWE fans out there, keep your eyes peeled. We got another big one coming. So we had, what was his name? The midget guy that we had there from WWE.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a really fun night.
I can't think of his
name. And he actually did a comedy act, and he was very funny. He was very funny. It was a really, really fun night, you know. So,
wow.
Yeah.
We're going to have magic coming back to back because on the night before February 22nd, we've got the magic from the Asylum as part of that Bonfire and Ozzy tribute night. And then the next night, we've got this show with the WWE.
Yeah, Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
That was his name.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very popular in the WWE, and we had a great night with him, got to hang out with him a little bit, talk some wrestling, and, you know, he was into, I think, Jack Fire was his drink of choice, so we had a couple of shots together, and, you know, he signed some stuff for my son, and that was neat. But you're seeing a lot of some of these WWE, you know, legends and some of these guys coming back, you know, trying to do some things.
See, I'm still of the era of Dick the Bruiser, you know. That was my guy. And Moose Cholak, you know, and Andre. You know, those were the guys when I was young.
Yeah.
Another connection, and I don't really know him, but I know at one of the other stations I worked at when we did Bob and Tom was Hayward Banks. And Hayward Banks is coming too. And he is a very funny guy.
Yep.
Musical.
Yep. There's a company I work with. They're out of Indianapolis, I believe, or the Lafayette area. That's when they did Donnie Baker with us.
Yeah.
From the Bob and Tom show as well.
Right.
So, we have some more comedy that group will be bringing to the table with us. Some key names, some bigger names. And
I was disappointed Donnie didn't come to the record store. I thought, we've got history. Yeah. I used to engineer, some of the Bob and Tom stuff back in the day.
Right. And talking to him after the show, he's just like talking to a normal guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like that at all. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. He's very cornpone, as we used to say, the hillbilly kind of thing. But again, we got a lot of tributes coming up. There's a Bon Jovi tribute. There's the Mr. Speed, a tribute to Kiss, March 20th. We've got
Hairbangers Ball.
It says with Fatal Orders. Fatal Order. Now, they were an original project with Tony Troncoso.
Yeah.
Are they doing an opening set?
Yeah, Fatal Order will be. We just kind of changed it originally. We had another band on the bill that ended up having to drop off due to some personal issues. So we just added Fatal Order on there. So
good choice.
Remember that band from, back in the 90s and 2000s, Tony and his guys. They're all pros. They're
Bam.
Spot on,
right?
And they'll do mostly cover songs and a couple originals I think sprinkled in there. So
yeah, they had a good original album. It used to be one of the best selling ones of the local metal scene. Them and Winterkill were both huge sellers.
Yeah, so looking forward to Hairbangers Ball. They always put on a good show. They play all those hits from the 80s that people just love.
Right, and wear bad wigs,
terrible wigs. That's a given. Some scarves will be thrown in there. Some fingerless gloves, I'm sure, that'll be a fun night as well. And that's February 28th on that one.
Is there a lot of stuff that's not on the schedule yet that you are working on?
There's always stuff in the works.
I mean, I'm sure you can't really say it till the contracts are signed, but is there some big names coming up?
Absolutely. We're actually, I'm working with one of our companies now for, it's a November date. So it's obviously a ways out, but, a huge, huge show. Also trying to plan something through the city of Hobart to run kind of a outdoor Halloween type fest.
Okay.
Which would consist of an outdoor stage, of course, with a hooded cover over it, generators.
Where would you put that?
We're trying, if you remember Hobart back in the day, I know you were not originally from Hobart, but they used to block off the four corners of 3rd and Main there. And
okay.
They would have a big block fest there.
Didn't remember that.
Yeah, and they used to have bands there, they had boxing matches there, they had all kinds of things there. So,
but what happened to Hobart?
Right.
We need you now.
I mean,
sounds cool.
I'm trying to bring that back to where that intersection of 3rd and Main is essentially blocked off for one block in all four directions. We put an outdoor stage out there and we have a Halloween driven type band, something like
Misfits.
Something like Doyle. A Misfits or an ICP, a costume band, an Alice Cooper type thing, you know what I mean?
So,
A friend of mine are trying to work on that plan now.
Let me be part of that.
Absolutely.
That would be fun.
Well, yeah, it's going to be in front of your place. So, we're trying to bring out things that the whole community can come out and be a part of, but obviously with a show like that, if the weather's too bad, like this past Halloween, we have a venue we can move it right into.
That's right.
So just
keep it open that night.
Yeah, right. Some big plans coming, some more big names coming. You're right, though, until contracts are signed and T's are crossed, I's are dotted, we kind of leave that under wraps.
Well, I know this year we're going to be doing the M&R Rush Christmas show in December at the Art Theater. We had done that at the Acorn in the past, and that's their end of the year show. And again, just lots and lots of fun stuff. I enjoy doing shows there as an outside guy coming in, and I know that you've got some great producers. You have kind of limited it to a handful of people that you trust working with and like working with that bring in quality shows and are professional. Because, your venue's name is at stake. So you have to also, and your name, that you bring in pros as your team. And I'm honored to be part of that team.
Yeah, and I'm honored to have you. You're a leader and a veteran in this region and area. So that was an easy choice. But, you don't want to put yourself in a position where there's too many hands in the pot.
Right.
So we've kind of narrowed it down to a few entertainment companies through Region Live, flight levels. Of course, Tom Lounge's Entertainment and a bigger comedy show series. Those are kind of the four main ones that I'm working through now, along with myself. You know,
is FM still part of it?
FM is still part of it.
I know he's got his hands full with all types of venues.
Yeah, yeah.
Good guy, though.
They're spread thin, you know. They, of course, work through the Forge out in Joliet. They just opened up the Radius, which is in the Pilsen neighborhood of Chicago.
Okay.
They run a lot of venues up there. So, yeah, I'll pull shows from them on occasion, absolutely. And, of course, there's ones that we just do on our own through, you know, me booking and signing contracts and things like that.
That's a headache, though. You need to. You have enough on your plate.
Well, you know what helps, Tom, is the fact there's a bar downstairs. Yeah. So, rough day, I cocktail and make it all go away.
There you go. Hobart Art Theater on Facebook and website coming soon. Do you have your domain yet?
We do. It's actually called brickartlive.com. So, B-R-I-C-K for Brick House. Art for Art Theater, live to let you know we got live music. So it's not up and running yet. It's almost finished. So brickartlive.com.
All right. And you can get tickets for all of the shows, if I'm not mistaken, at eventbrite.com.
Yep, eventbrite.com. All ticket links for pretty much most of our shows.
On your Facebook page.
Yep, Facebook page. You can. It's an easy lead-in. There'll be ticket links to every show through the Facebook link. Or you can go to Eventbrite directly, and now, you know, with their search engines, you can search Hobart Now, and all our shows, you know, most of them anyways, come up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any final thoughts or comments?
No. Appreciate being out here. I thank you for your hospitality.
2 hours.
Very quick. Your hospitality has been great. Enjoy being neighbors with you. It's a great marriage between the theater and the record bin, so thank you for that. No, we look forward to having anybody out there listening, coming out to check a show. And have a meal next door, maybe. And we look forward to serving our community and bringing in people from outside neighboring areas.
All right. You've been listening to Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming worldwide, including Nashville, where we've got a couple feedbacks from folks that were listening in. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in, as always. Coming up in just a few minutes, Chef Nick is in the house, and he'll be doing his Let's Eat show with Sharon Jackson, and you'll be ready to call in and win gift cards and other things, as I don't know who his guest is going to be, but I think it's going to be pretty tasty. We're going to leave you with a song now. This is the original artist. This is Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, but this is a song I guarantee you're going to hear, and you're going to hear done faithfully, along with a whole plethora of wonderful Motown songs. On February 14th, Valentine's Show, Women of Motown Musical Review with Triple Dose and Mr. Keith Jackson. This is Martha Reeves to take us out. On an up note, let's get a little dancing. It's soggy, but hey, who cares? Dance in the streets today. Adios.